For years, my favorite restaurant in the world was a place where the server once walked by and dropped my knife and fork off at the table. Like, literally dropped. Clank, clank, clank. And then walked away to do something else. But I didn't care. In fact, I thought it was a badge of honor that I ate there because the food was so good. But years later, when I started working in restaurants, I learned an old saw. Great service can fix bad food, but great food can't do anything for bad service. And I started to notice how much better I felt, not as an eater, but as a human being, when the servers are truly warm, and when they do things that make it seem like they knew what you wanted before you even did. And I started to notice that the really, really great servers move a certain way, that they walk and hold plates and place them down a certain way, and that watching them in the dining room can start to feel like a ballet. But there aren't that many restaurants these days that are really expanding the limits of what good service is about. Our guest, Will Gadara, is a practitioner and really a pioneer in the fine art of restaurant service. He is co-owner of New York City's 11 Madison Park and The Nomad, both restaurants legendary for what they call the front of the house. Thanks so much for joining us today, Will.
I'm very happy to be here, Francis. Thank you.
So I'm going to start with a very simple question for you. What is great service?
In its most fundamental form, I think great service is just doing in as effective a manner as possible the technical things that are expected from a server when someone goes to a restaurant. I think it becomes deeper when you start to layer on the presence of hospitality in service. A lot of people look at them as two different things. In fact, for a long time, one of my interview questions when I was talking to people was, what is the difference between service and hospitality? The greatest answer I actually heard was, service is black and white and hospitality is color. Hmm. And I think there's truth to that. So yeah, maybe I'm going a little further than you wanted. I think great service is greeting people, knowing what you're doing, getting the food to them on time, doing everything as one would expect it to be done. Great hospitality is really getting to know the person you're serving such that there is a true and genuine connection. And great service doesn't exist in the absence of great hospitality. Hmm.
I love hearing you say that because it makes me think that, you know, service is almost like a set of skills, whereas hospitality is something greater. It's something maybe emotional. It's something that sounds almost like it can be creative. And I think of a story that I heard from two friends of mine who actually came into your restaurant, 11 Madison Park, once. They were there for lunch. They were guests of someone else's. And at the end of the meal, the staff presented them with a going-away gift and a little box they put on the table. And my friends opened the box, and it was a set of bocce balls with the 11 Madison Park logo printed on them.
I remember that.
So my friends are two young chefs from Memphis, and they have a bocce ball court behind their restaurant. And they could not for the life of them understand how anyone knew that, why they knew that, and certainly why the restaurant would give them this gift. And they walked away just feeling like something magical just happened and we'll never understand how or why. And I would love to know maybe the how, but certainly the why. So when did you realize that the front of the house can be a creative place like this?
11 Madison Park is a very specific type of restaurant in that two things exist. One, people make reservations well in advance, and so we know people are joining us weeks ahead of them actually walking through our doors. And the gift we're given in that is time to prepare. The other thing is that people are with us for hours at a time, and so we really have the ability to get to know someone. And when we come up with fun ideas to personalize the experience, time to bring those ideas to life. Things get boring if you can't come up with new ideas. If you're just doing what other people tell you to do, there's a lack of excitement and passion in the people that work in the restaurant. And so we've always felt it's really important to let people in the kitchen and the dining room have the ability to think creatively in the way they approach their job. And in the dining room, it's especially true. And a lot of that is done through creating systems, deciding the most fun way that you can deliver a course, the most effective way to drop a check. But the really fun stuff is where we get to think about individuals that are joining us and try to think of fun ways to really connect with them. And so we try to find as many ways as possible to learn as much as we can about the people so that we can create something that's personal to them. we Google our guests, something that some people think is creepy or stalkerish, but I don't think it is at all. I think it's what you do with the information that defines the spirit of the endeavor. And so we try to learn as much about our guests such that the experience that we give them is truly only for them.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like if you have the opportunity to get to know someone, whether or not they know that you're getting to know them or not, you can really do something really unique and personal. And you probably have a pretty good sense of the sort of psychology involved in a restaurant guest's mind when there are certain moments. And there are standard moments. The standard moment of welcome. Oh, hi, welcome to a restaurant. Do you have a reservation with us tonight? Are you joining us? Yada, yada. Or the standard moment where, oh, you know, are you ready for the check? Or you know, do you wait until the guest asks for the check and so on and so forth? I'm curious to know how you do those things and what's the psychology of that moment that lets you say, hey, maybe here's a different way to do that.
So when someone comes through the door of our restaurant, you know, we always talk about the balance between going out and coming home. We want it to feel like you're going out. It better. You're spending a lot of money. There better be a lot of things about it that you don't get in your own apartment. But there's this comfort in going to a friend's house for dinner. And we try to feed off the inspiration we get from those experiences when we have them outside the walls of our restaurant. And what do you want someone to feel like when they walk in? You want them to truly feel that sense of welcome, that excitement when you go to your friend's house for dinner on a Saturday night and you walk in and you look at each other and you smile because you're genuinely excited to see each other. And so there, for a long time, our greeting worked the same as it did everywhere else. You'd walk up to a podium, the maitre d' would be plugging away at a computer, and that didn't seem genuine to us. The physical barrier, the need to consult with a computer to decide what was going to happen next. So we came up with a way of separating the person greeting you from the person, you know, working on the open table screen, such that you walk in not to see a podium, but to see a person. It's the simplest thing, but it made the whole thing feel more gracious. And our job is to put people at ease. At the end of the dinner, we need to give people the check. I never want people to have to ask for anything. And the check is a delicate situation. I don't want them to have to ask for the check, but you don't want to drop the check on someone and make them feel like you're trying to push them out the door. So there, we give them the check when it's clear the dinner is over. But we put it down without even referencing it. And alongside it, we put down a bottle of apple brandy or an eau de vie. We pour each person at the table a little sip, and we leave the bottle there and say, hey, this is with our compliments. Drink as much of it as you want. And it's our way of saying, hey, there's the check when you're ready for it. But if we were trying to rush you out, we wouldn't be giving you an entire bottle of liquor right now to just slowly, you know, marinate over. So it's in those things where we have the ability to be creative in advance to identify how the little things that we're doing are going to make someone feel. Really, we all do it in life. Whether we're working in restaurants or not, we all give gifts. And there are those that like giving gifts more than they like receiving them. And then there are plenty of people that just love receiving them. But anyone who loves giving a gift knows how special it is to give someone the right gift.
Right.
Because it shows that you really thought about the person you're giving it to. So we serve people lunch and dinner, but where we have the most fun is when we get to give people gifts.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Will.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Will Gadara is co-owner of the restaurants 11 Madison Park and The Nomad, and a co-founder of the Welcome Conference, an annual symposium on the meaning of hospitality. For more information about Will, head to the website splendidtable.org. And while you're there, take a look at a video series that I'm in, The Splendid Table Cooks with Francis Lamb. This week, it's more than you will likely ever need to know about parsley. And you'll find a recipe to put all that herb to good use. Look for parsley tarragon sauce at splendidtable.org.